Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You can also send me your voicemail messages. If you got a rant you want to get off your chest and you don't feel like waiting to connect with me directly, you can always leave a voicemail at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. There's a lot to get into today. I'm going to start off with baseball for an obvious reason. If you're a Los Angeles Dodger, you're on your way back to the World Series. If you're a Milwaukee Brewer, chances are you should be prepared to get swept. It's just that simple. We're not going to sit up here and play games and act like, you know, we're fooling around and, you know what, this temptation and this intrigue to all of this. Anything could happen. It's the sport of Major League Baseball. Home field advantage in baseball is not the same as home field advantage in basketball or football or hockey. I get all of that. But in the end, the bottom line is this. The Milwaukee Brewers were on their home turf, and they are 0-2 in a 2-3-2 format of a best four out of seven game series. And the Dodgers are going home to Chavez Ravine, needing two victories to win the pennant and ultimately advance to the World Series. And based on what we saw last night, who doubts that that's going to happen? Yoshinobu Yamamoto pitches a three-hitter, gives up a home run to start off the damn game, and then proceeds to go the rest of the entire game. It ain't like he came out, y'all. Went the rest of the entire game, all nine innings, pitching two-hit baseball the rest of the way. Pitched a three-hitter for the first postseason complete game in 8 years. Teoscar Hernandez and Mac Muncy each hit a solo homer. Dodgers are up 2-0. Series shifts to Los Angeles for game three on Thursday. Muncy hit a 412-foot shot to center field. Was the 14th homer of his postseason career, breaking the Dodgers' record he had once shared with Corey Sager and Justin Turner. Yamamoto allowed a home run to Jackson Churio on the first of his 111 pitches, but shut down the Brewers the rest of the way. Did you see how hyped the fans were in Milwaukee? Because, I mean, let's call it what it is. Please, ain't a lot to do in Milwaukee. It's a great city, great sports town, great fans. We ain't a lot to do, okay? Ain't a lot to do. So, I mean, these moments are cherished because you're not going to get but so many of them. You know, it's not like you're expecting the Milwaukee Bucks to win a championship. No disrespect to Doc Rivers, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or anybody else. But they're not a championship team in Milwaukee, okay? The football team in Green Bay, that's an hour plus down the road. The way their defense looked against the Dallas Cowboys, you no longer have Super Bowl aspirations for them. So you're looking at the Brewers, who walked into this series, this National League Championship Series, 6-0 against the Los Angeles Dodgers this season. Albeit in July, that was the last time they played one another. The fact is, they gave you every reason to believe that they were going to be successful, or at least this was going to be a seven-game series. And two games in, we already know it's over. Because Shohei Ohtani, despite his postseason troubles, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Mike Muncy, and the crew ain't losing four out of the next five games. It's not happening. This series is over. This series is over. The only question mark that exists right now is whether or not it's going to be a sweep. We all know it. Let's just get it out the way. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop acting like we don't know any better, because it's just the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the truth. The Brewers are done. It's just a matter of whether or not this is going to be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. I can't see them winning more than one game this series, because I can't see it coming back to Milwaukee. And so as a result, the Dodgers are going to be on, moving on to the World Series. Yes, Stephen A. is sounding premature. So damn what? It's how I feel. You had to win game one. and you didn't close the deal on that one. So because you didn't win game one, what you going to do? I'm just looking at it from that standpoint. And I got to tell you something, though. Having said all of that, even with the Dodgers' $300-plus million payroll, even with cats like Yamamoto and Sasaki and Snell and the rest of the crew, I got news for you. I think the Toronto Blue Jays are done, too. I think they're going to get smacked around. What are we saying about them? How are we looking at them? What are we supposed to feel about the Toronto Blue Jays? All I know is this. Guerrero Jr., who smacked the Yankees around, batting over 500 in the ALDS, shows up against Seattle. He's hitless in seven at-bats in the ALCS. Hitless in the championship series. Zero, nada. And Seattle, whether it's Polanco or Raleigh or whomever, is having a field day. And I'm looking at them right now, and I'm saying, wait a minute, a little bit different with them. They could beat the Dodgers. Do I think they would be? I wouldn't bet my money on it. Wouldn't bet my money on it. But they do lead the series 2-0. Blue Jays are sending Bieber to the mound, while the Mariners are going with Kirby, who's got a 4.21 ERA. You should be able to exploit him. Polanco and Julio Rodriguez, who, by the way, hit three-run homers. They ain't going nowhere. Naylor, he added a two-run drive when the Mariners took a 2-0 American League Championship lead, routing the Blue Jays 10-3. He's been balling. This is a Seattle Mariners team that has never been to the World Series, never hosted a World Series game. They're heading home to Wednesday's Game 3 halfway to clinch this best-of-seven series, ending a drought for a team that started playing in 1977. Here's how I'm looking at it. If we really, really think about it, we should want Seattle versus L.A. I understand that's the West and the Pacific Northwest, and I get that part. You want some East Coast team, but the hell with it. The World Series is the World Series. Here's what I like about it. I have to tell you. You know those moments, those certain teams where there's just a little something about them, just a little vibe about them? It's like it just feels like their time. That's how I feel about the Mariners right now. And could you imagine if they enter the World Series and they make it a World Series against the Dodgers, where you're talking about a thriller, seven-game series, and the Dodgers are pushed to the brink? See, that's what we should be wishing for right now. That's the kind of stuff that we should hope. That's the kind of stuff we should hope for, if we're being honest about it. That's how I look at this upcoming World Series, because I am looking forward. I think Milwaukee and Toronto are done. I am looking forward to Seattle versus L.A. I think Milwaukee and Toronto are done. That's just where I'm at with it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. So I got a little baseball out of the way. In terms of football, there's a couple of things on my mind. One of them is Jerry Jones continuing to open his mouth, acting like there's no problem in Big D when we all know there's a damn problem in Dallas, Texas. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I've officially named the Dallas Cowboys the Alice Cowboys. There's no defense. There's no D in Dallas. There's no D in Dallas whatsoever. They should just strip their name. They're last in every statistical category that matters. They're awful. Awful defensively. And somebody needs to say it, so I'm going to say it. They're trash. And at some point in time, somebody's got to walk up to Jerry Jones, if they haven't already, and say, stop trying to make a case justifying moving Micah Parsons. You can't get to the quarterback. You don't have a pass rush. And because you don't have that going for you, the defense is mincemeat for any opposing offense with a pulse. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to be successful if they're going to be successful, because Dak Prescott is playing like an MVP. George Lynch is playing like a WR wide receiver one that deserves his bag in a free agency year or in a contract year. And CeeDee Lamb ain't even back yet. But when Rico Dowdle of the Carolina Panthers, who played for the Dallas Cowboys last year, calls you out a week in advance, tells you to buckle up, and basically proclaims, I'm going to bust y'all ass. And then goes out there and does it with 170-plus yards rushing, 238 yards from scrimmage, just completely destroys you. We are not talking about Emmitt Smith. We ain't even talking about Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. We're talking about Rico Dowdle. And that is what this brother did to the Cowboys. You can't be Jerry Jones coming out talking about how everything is fine, giving indications that you ready to ride or die with Matt Eberflus, your defensive coordinator who couldn't do the job as a head coach in Chicago last year. You can't do that. But that's what Jerry Jones has been doing. And if you don't believe me, listen to Jerry Jones talking about his team and them still being in the hunt. Listen to this.
Just reminded me that we are still in it. And it reminded me that that was eerily similar to the way we got beat. And they came down and they were able to execute, get the ball, and get the kick. And you should have, give me the chance to have our offense with the ball down there Sunday where we had it. And I like our odds of winning that game. And it was right down to that right now. They did not surprise us on running that ball against us like that. That was a suspect. And we'd like to have a mulligan.
Right.
And we'll get some, but still, I see so much parity. And then you factor in that these teams get compromised with injury.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, have, and may. But if we should have some good go of it here over the next weeks ahead with our injury situation and return of injury, and we can get some wins, then this thing with Dak playing the way he's playing and with the way some of the guys have played that are playing with these guys out right now, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. The last thing that I'm thinking about is in any way being out of the hunt.
Oh, stop it. No wonder he does a weekly radio show. We all know he loves hearing himself talk, but that's drivel right there. This is about the Dallas Cowboys defense, and this is about whether or not you believe that being a one-dimensional team is going to get you to the postseason. That's what this is about. Dak Prescott is clearly playing like an MVP candidate. You know, George Pickens has been balling. Let's give love where it's due, all right? But defensively speaking, I mean, when we look at the Dallas Cowboys offense versus his defense right now, Dallas's offense in total yards ranks first. Their defense ranks dead last. Scoring, they rank third offensively. Their defense is second worst in the league. Passing yards, they're second in the league. Dallas defense against passing yards is dead last. Yards per rush, the Dallas Cowboys offense is sixth in the league. Their defense is 26th against the rush. 25th, I'm sorry. And in third downs, Dallas is eighth in the league offensively. Defensively, they're dead last. What the hell is he talking about? I mean, talk about spitting in our face telling us it's raining. Talking about glossing over the obvious. Jerry Jones, stop it. Just stop it. But he wouldn't, because when he was asked for whether or not he would be making a deal for defensive help, listen to what he had to say here.
We will weigh what are the likelihood of the players that we've got coming back, how they will impact where that'll put this team, as opposed if we should add a player in a trade. And I don't have a trade in mind right now at all. And you, if that comes about right now, if someone is on the phone calling.
If that ain't bad enough, Jerry Jones expressed his confidence in defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus by saying, that's who I want in the foxhole with me. Really? You serious? He's had tremendous experience, Jerry Jones says. He's dealt with adversity with a long record of, not only with us, but his tenure in Chicago and Indianapolis. And he's had some great successes. But he's had his tail kicked. That's who I want in the foxhole with me, because there's no such thing as having all the answers. 888-623-3646. Let's go to Trey in Texas. You're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Trey.
Hey, Stephen A. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing a lot better than Cowboy fans. I know that much, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to wish you a happy late birthday. I know it was yesterday.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't get to call you yesterday. Thanks for being inspirational to me, you know, because of you. I took your advice. I'm an editor at a local news station here in Amarillo, where I live.
Okay.
So, but also, my question to you is this, about the Cowboys.
All right.
Should he go out and try to get Myles Garrett?
Nah, how you going to get Myles Garrett? First of all, understand something. Why would Cleveland give away Myles Garrett? Secondly, what would the Cowboys have to offer in return? Thirdly, Myles Garrett just got $40 million, and you were reluctant to pay Micah Parsons that money, even though Myles Garrett is a different dimension, and he's a monster on the defensive side of the ball, probably the best in the game. The fact of the matter is, you know, you don't have rights to him. You could have signed your own dude without giving up anybody. You would have to give up a multitude of people to get Myles Garrett, so why would you do that? That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Of course, Myles Garrett would help them. I'm just saying that you ain't getting Myles Garrett if you're the Dallas Cowboys. Not right now. If I'm Myles Garrett, I would say this. If I'm Myles Garrett, I'd want to go to Dallas. It's a bigger market.
Yeah.
He'd get more notoriety. He'd certainly get more endorsement deals. And on top of it all, he'd have a better chance because he'd have an offense coming onto the field when he went off the field. So because of that, if I'm Myles Garrett, I'd rather be a Cowboy more than a Cleveland Brown at this particular moment in time. But that's the best thing that I could tell you.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you, Stephen A.
Take it easy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Take it easy. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call up. That's 888-623-3646. We got a lot more football to get into, a lot more baseball to get into, plus some basketball news to bring to you as well. Stick around. Don't touch that dial. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.